The first scripture reading today is the book of John, chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid.
It's actually Mark 4, 35 to 41.
Shorter.
It's shorter. Yes, that's good news. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with them. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is fun to be back here. Laura and I are children of this congregation. We grew up here, were married here, baptized a couple of our kids here, and heard a call to leave here and accept a call to mission work in Vanuatu, a place a long ways away, bunch of little islands in the South Pacific. There's a map that Pastor Susan put on the front of your bulletins. You can see on the little bottom map there that if you go from here to Australia, that's about this much too far. And then the larger map on top shows the country, which is about 83 inhabited islands spread out across about 300 miles of South Pacific. And you can see the little lines that separate it into different provinces. So if you get tired of listening to me, you can look at that. It's a little additional thing there. I kind of feel sorry for this presentation I'm giving here this morning, because Susan called up, and since I was in town for my dad's memorial service a couple days ago, she said, "Well, would you like to preach?" I said, "Sure." And to me, preaching means, well, you do a little bit about Scripture and trying to challenge folks and give them something to think about for the coming week, but mostly it's about telling stories from living in the islands. And then she said, "And we've been praying for the people of Vanuatu because we knew you were there, and we knew that they were wiped out by a big storm, a hurricane, a couple of months ago. So will you tell about that too?" Oh, so this poor little presentation I'm giving has to do something with a sermon, and it has to do something with a report on Vanuatu surviving a cyclone or hurricane. And then I want to tell stories too. So it's like there's way too much going on here. So let's think of it as sort of a list. We'll check off the sermon part here first, okay? When I was a kid, I really liked this story from the Bible about the sea, you know, getting rough and the waves coming in and the boat about to tip over. That's really dramatic. And then Jesus wakes up and makes everything go still and be quiet. And the disciples are going, "Whoa, who is this guy anyway? How does that work?" I interpreted that story as meaning, well, believe in Jesus and your life will be calm and smooth sailing and you'll never have any troubles. That was a child's understanding. Most of us here are past that point, right? By the time you get to be my age, you're old and scarred and wrinkly, and you know that life has troubles, right? So how do we look at a story like that when we know that that child's understanding simply doesn't hold water, if you'll let me say that? What do we do with this story? My opinion, and I'm not a pastor, I'm actually an elementary school teacher by trade, my opinion is that the real miracle is not Jesus saying to the wind and the storm, peace, be still. The real miracle is Jesus saying to me, in the middle of a storm, peace, be still. I am in awe not of the waves and the wind being calm, but of the fact that during times of trouble, when storms are blowing through my life, somehow Jesus can do an even bigger miracle, and that is have me be peaceful and still. Hard to remember that message, let not your hearts be troubled, when I want to say, my heart is troubled. This is a really troubling time here. So we remember that Jesus is with us, and the miracle is quieting the storm within our own lives. And that's the sermon. We can check that off. Cool. It wasn't that bad, was it? Now we can get to the better part. This is the report part on how Vanuatu came through a very bad storm. Now, if you look at the front of your bulletins, you'll see that the string of islands is 300 miles long, and it's stretched out across the Pacific from north to south. Okay, cyclones are a part of their lives. These people have mature faith. They know that it's not all smooth sailing, okay? The storms typically come from the east to the west, the same as Atlantic hurricanes. So if a storm comes through and hits the northern islands, then the gardens, the food supply for the southern and central islands are still pretty good. Or if it hits the south end of the island chain, then the north and central part can help. So the Presbyterian Church of Vanuatu, one of the things they did is buy a rusty old freighter, a big old boat, a little leaky around the edges, but it works. And they have that in the center part of the country, in Port Vila, the capital city. And so when the cyclone hits the north, this rusty old tramp steamer goes around the southern islands and the central islands and picks up food and delivers it to the northern part where the crops have been destroyed. And the same, anywhere the cyclone hits, they can do their own ministry to each other, their own relief. And that's a tremendous example of how our partner churches around the world work on their own sustainability and helping themselves rather than just sitting around waiting for handouts. The trouble with Cyclone Pam that came across here 3 months ago now is that it was big enough and strong enough to make its own rules. It didn't follow that normal narrow east to west path. It was actually originally headed north of the islands and then swerved and came down and took out the whole island chain. And the first reports were, oh my gosh, this is a storm, one of the biggest recorded in history. It turned out that was an exaggeration. After they got the data in, it turned out, well, no. We remind ourselves that hurricanes have to go about 75 miles an hour. Sustained wind, not gusts, to be classed as a hurricane. A typical hurricane like the ones Laura and I lived through are 110 or 120 miles an hour. Big ones are up higher than that, 150. Cyclone Pam was 160 or 170 miles per hour sustained winds. So it tended to just blow away everything in its path, which is a problem. So the first problem was out all the islands rather than just a piece. And the second problem is it was a big storm. It was not the biggest recorded, but it was a big storm, a powerful storm. So the first news reports were, oh my gosh, the islands have been entirely wiped out. There must be thousands dead, tens of thousands, we don't know. And then reports started trickling in because all the infrastructure and reports and cell towers and all that kind of thing were wiped out. And so the death toll kept going down. It turned out not to be thousands. It turned out not to be hundreds. They kept finding other people who had taken shelter. The final death toll on this hurricane was 11 in the country. And 11's too many, but still, it's better than the tens of thousands that were originally predicted. And one of the reasons for that is the Presbyterian Church of Vanuatu. Because as funds become available from folks like this church and Yellowstone Presbytery that has been very faithful in support of Vanuatu over the years, as funds become available, they build churches in these little coastal villages. The churches don't look much like churches in our tradition. They look more like garden sheds or garages. Concrete slab floor, cinder block walls tied together with rebar, corrugated metal roof on top, all tied into the walls. And so that serves as the place where the people gather. And that's for worship, and that's for the Presbyterian women's group and the after-school groups and all sorts of different things. But when the storm comes, it's a sanctuary. And so they slam down the big storm covers over the windows and they nail it all into the frames. And the young people go out into the gardens and gather everything they can find and pile it on the communion table. Whether it's really quite ripe yet or not, doesn't matter. Heap food in here. They put the babies to sleep on the log benches that serve as pews and they count everybody and make sure everybody is there. And they close the doors. And then the winds howl. And they get stronger and stronger and stronger until you can't hear anything and the rain beats on the top of that corrugated roof like you're inside a big drum. And the water comes in around the windows and under the doors. And so the people are standing in water, sometimes up to their knees. And they sing hymns. They sing the storm away. It's an oral culture, so they know all the words to all the verses to all the hymns and all the sorts. I don't even know how many different harmony lines they have going. They do that for fun in their spare time. And the louder the wind blows, the louder the people sing. And then when the wind starts to die down, they barely have any voices left at all. It could be 6 or 8 hours later. And they look out the door. They open the door and the village is in shreds around them. You know, splinters of twisted pieces of metal or whatever. But the village itself, the people, are safe behind them because they took sanctuary in the church and were safe there. That's a lot different stories of hurricanes in the U.S., huh? Where the rich folks up on the hill survive and the poor folks drown. The report part. Oh no, I should say what's going on now. There was a tremendous outpouring of relief to Vanuatu from places like Yellowstone Presbytery here in Montana. Thank you very much. And that did a lot of help during that first critical 60 days where the water is contaminated by storm surges coming up through the village and salt water in all the wells, and the gardens are destroyed, and it takes 45 or 60 days for the new fastest-growing greens to be edible again so people can get fresh food again. There was an outpouring of relief, and we really appreciate that. There's a problem with that, though, a couple of problems. The first is we have a very short attention span. The earthquake in Nepal came along, and the focus of the world, rightly so, shifted to Nepal, and then a Syrian refugee crisis and one more crisis after another. We are very distractible. Part of that's because of our news media. Part of that is because a lot of us don't feel deep ties to a particular place. and are interested in the long-term development and sustainability there. The other problem in Vanuatu was people were passionate about the ties they did have. I was a Peace Corps volunteer in some village. I want my gift to go to that village. I had one guy call me up at the national offices of the church where I work, and he said, I want to get a gift to Elder Henry's family in a Buli village on the north shore of Efate Island. And I'm going, are you kidding me? These people don't even have roads or a working post office system right now. You want me to get the... I said, no, we can't do that. Here's a suggestion. You might give a gift to the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance with a reference on it in honor of Elder Henry in a Buli village. Maybe that message might get to him someday when the infrastructure is built back. So the long-term project, the people are fed now, and the immediate danger of increased disease because of standing water breeding mosquitoes and more malaria, the immediate crisis is over, but the long-term problem still remains because most of the infrastructure, roads, bridges, buildings like hotels that bring tourists in and bring money into the country, most of that was destroyed. And so they have a long way ahead before they're built back to the point they were. Okay, now I think that report is done. Let me tell you a story, all right? Laura and I, when we lived in the South Pacific with two small girls, for fun, we went to Presbyterian church meetings on our days off. It's not everybody's idea of a good time. It was ours. The Presbyterian Church of Vanuatu hosts general meetings every year, and they're hosted on different islands each year. And one year, they were hosted on the island of Makira, which is a little tiny island that's not even on your map. It's only about 3 miles long and about 1 mile wide. It's surrounded by steep cliffs on three sides of it. There's only one small beach where boats can come ashore. It has no airstrip, no infrastructure at all, no roads. There are pathways between the couple of villages there. They have about 400 people living on that island. That's subsistence living. All the food comes out of the ocean or from the gardens. And this was the place that was going to host General Assembly, where 600 visitors come in from all over the country to talk about things Presbyterians talk about together. So that's a big challenge, to double your population for a week. So they did what Presbyterians everywhere do. They appointed. And there was a committee to build temporary shelters down on the beach with palm fronds over bamboo stakes, you know, to keep the sun off people. And there was a committee to go to the island of Matasso nearby and have them plant fields of yams a full year in advance so they could be harvested and put in canoes and brought over to the island of Makira. And there was another committee on the island of Epi. Their job was to raise a couple of extra cows that could be slaughtered and put in canoes and brought over for food. So all this was set up. Laura and I and our two daughters arrived on Sunday to be there for a week. And because we were your representatives, we did not stay in the little temporary shelters out on the beach. We stayed in the best housing there was. That is, the chief moved out of his house and we moved in. Thank you very much, Presbyterians around the world. When I say the best housing, that means a gravel floor and woven bamboo walls and a thatched roof so that we would try to get comfortable on the gravel floor using our thin leaf woven mats to put on the gravel. And we would look up at the thatch at night where rats ran back and forth and dropped little gifts on us. And during the day, the village kids would come in and peek through the holes in the walls. They were just so curious. They'd been ordered to leave us alone and stay away, but they were so curious. I think they wanted to see if we were white all over. Oh, no. They kept getting chased away. It was a marvelous time. We got to know a lot about that village. The girls learned weaving patterns that they hadn't known before and started to pick up, you know, basic language from that island. It was really a fun time. And we attended meetings and did Presbyterian-type things. Everything worked like clockwork until Thursday, when the wind reversed direction. It wasn't even a storm. It just piled up surf from an unexpected direction, and no boats could come ashore on that one little beach that everybody was relying on. And the sound of the surf just pounded against the island all day Thursday and all day Friday and all day Saturday. And by Saturday night, our dinner was a little lump of some root crop like a yam about that big with a little bit of broth over the top. And that was dinner. And a situation like that sort of makes you look at your neighbor's plate, you know. How much did you guys get? You know, one of those things. So it was interesting because we were probably getting more than our fair share as the honored guests. And we started thinking about those curious little kids who kept peeking through the walls. What were they getting? And the pregnant moms or the nursing moms, what were they getting? Start thinking about that. Well, Sunday morning, we all met together, crammed into the village church for the goodbye ceremonies. But it was very clear no boats were leaving this island either. Were stuck there, and we were in trouble, and we were out of food, and that lasted all day Sunday. Monday morning, Pastor Fiamma, the moderator of the Presbyterian Church, called a meeting in the church, and everybody crammed into it, all the delegates and all the villagers around the outside, everybody crammed together. Nobody knew what he was going to say. The surf was still pounding on the island, and there was no way off it. And Pastor Fiamma stood up in front of everybody, and he raised his hands like this, and he declared a day of fasting. What could he do? We reacted just like you did. We all laughed. That's silly, you know. And so we passed the morning in prayer and in singing hymns and in reading scripture and in singing. And about the time people started standing up giving impromptu sermons, that was enough of that. And somebody found an old soccer ball that was all beat up and taped and repaired and a rope. And we went down onto the beach and we scratched out in the wind-blown sand where the lines wouldn't stay and created all sorts of fun when it came time to argue about things. And we strung up the rope and played volleyball with impromptu teams, you know, some of those island groups against other island groups or elders against pastors, all these gray-haired, out-of-shape old guys out there on the beach trying to knock this old soccer ball around. We went to bed Monday night, hungry, yeah, but sand in our hair and tired out and the white sunburned. But somehow we were at peace at that time. When we declared a day of fasting from what we needed, it's like we declared a day of fasting from fear also. We gave it away somehow. And on Tuesday morning, when we woke up, the world was as still and quiet as the first day of creation. And we went down to the beach, and the South Pacific was as flat as a farm pond. And the sun was rising out of the ocean. And it was like there was a golden path from us straight to the heart of the universe. And in that glare coming toward us, we've been forgotten. The folks on the neighboring islands were holding committee meetings to keep us in mind. They were bringing food to the island, and they were coming to bring us home. So, we had a sermon where we talked about somehow Jesus creating peace in our lives. We had a report where we talked about sharing resources and providing sanctuary for each other. We had a story about giving away fear and living in community. Not about amassing resources, but about sharing them. Maybe those somehow tie together. Will you join me in prayer, please? Dear God, we thank you for this day and for each other. Thank you for placing us in communities, not here as individuals. Thank you for the opportunity to offer help to each other and to accept help when it's needed. Thank you that you can create peace in the middle of any storm, even the big ones inside our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name, who is to the center of the universe. Amen.